Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello there, and welcome to Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told, and soon there will be so much more saga to celebrate. Today we are going to be talking about all of the Episode 8 casting news that broke last week. We didn't get a chance to talk about it in depth, so we're going to do it this week. You may, if you're watching YouTube or listening on iTunes, have noticed a weird title for this week's episode, where we're talking about casting the Space Bear. And that is because there was a tweet that allegedly revealed that the code name for Episode 8, the secret title, is Space Bear, which thrills me to no end. So we will be talking about the casting of the Space Bear. I am one of your hosts. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. Your other host is, of course,
right here, Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. We are joined by Ms. Jenna Bush.
Hello.
And welcome. It's great. It's always great to have you here as a part of the Alliance.
I am happy to be here. Also, Space Bear? That's the best name for anything ever. I think they should keep it.
I just want that movie.
Don't you? Just I want to see Space Bear.
Like, yeah. DreamWorks Space Bear.
Space Bear Strikes Back would be great. So you get a little of the cute and a little of the violence, yeah, which
I
is
would
my
totally
sweet
watch
spot.
It.
Revenge of the Space Bear.
Revenge of the Space Bear. Fire of the Space Bear. Anything. Anything violent I would be happy with. Jenna,
yes.
You, along with Audrey Kearns, are the two best people in the world at rattling off what you're involved in life. So can you go ahead and rattle off what you're involved in?
Indeed. Okay. I am the editor-in-chief and founder of Legion of Leia website. See, I can't do it because now you set it up.
I know. I set you up for failure. I'm sorry. Failure of the Space Bear.
So we cover all kinds of geek news, comics, movies, TV, video games. And we also talk about women in geekdom. I have a book out right now that I contributed to called Star Wars Psychology, Dark Side of the Mind. I have two more coming out in April. It's Captain America versus Iron Man Psychology, Game of Thrones Psychology, and in June, Star Trek Psychology comes out, and Doctor Who Psychology is coming out later in the year. You can pre-order them on Amazon. I'm also the co-host of Most Craved.
Nice.
I got through most of it.
Yeah, you did great. You did great.
Thank you.
Yeah, and tons of psychology coming from Jenna
All
Bush.
Of the psychology.
So if you like geek stuff and you just feel not right, some psychology help is coming from Jenna Bush. That was an irresponsible thing to say, but I don't care. I'm very
I am
tired
not licensed
this week.
In any state.
I do not care. Jenna, we've been talking about to all of our guests,
yep,
about their Force Awakens experience. Now, what was your experience seeing it for the first time? Did you go to a press screening?
No, I chose not to. So Jeff Henderson, my better half, was in China working on a film, and he actually set it up because they wanted him to come home on the 17th when it opened.
Mm.
And so he put in his contract that he had to come back the 16th because we had Star Wars tickets. So I didn't see the screening because I wanted to see it with him. I saw it at 7 o'clock, the first showing, went back to the car, wrote up the review, posted it, then went out to another screening. It was the infamous screening at the Arclight in Hollywood where the whole thing stopped. There was this like green bar. They stopped the film and started it like 20 minutes in. And
what?
People were freaking out.
Yeah.
And then it was the thing where the planet, you know.
Yeah.
I'm assuming spoilers are okay.
Yeah, we're
okay,
in
I figured.
Spoiler-free,
yeah,
country.
When they blow up the planet. And then, so people scream, they stopped it, and then they started again, but even further in. And so they gave us all vouchers, with which I saw Deadpool.
Oh, wow. So this was your second screening.
Second screening, and then I saw another screening the next day. So I saw it three times in 24 hours. And
two and a half.
So about two and a half. No, it was, oh my God. It was so, well, they finished playing the entire movie.
Okay,
but,
all right.
But it was mind-blowing. It was so good. And the first thing I said when I walked out is that Rey was going to be to a bunch of kids what Leia was for me.
Yeah.
And I'm still blown away. I mean, I have little critiques here and there, but for the most part, it made me so happy.
Awesome. And
so,
did you, this is the important question for me, did you weep at any point during your first screening?
Oh, hell yeah. In fact, I brought tissues in anticipation of this very thing.
Nice.
Yeah, I of course, through the entire thing. The opening crawl, the music, as soon as I saw Rey, as soon as I saw Leia, as soon as I saw Han, Chewbacca. Yeah, pretty much
all
the entire film. And
somebody
sobbing.
Appeared on screen.
Did you have anything left for Luke at the end?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God. And, I mean, I sort of knew how that was going to work out. But,
yeah.
As soon as they turned around, I was like, ugh, tears. And it happened at all three screenings. So
Good. That's a strong showing of the emotional nature of the movie.
I think I will always have a powerful reaction to Luke.
And I'm not a crier, by the way. I never cry at movies. Ever. And this, I knew it was coming.
So no tears at Deadpool.
No tears. Well, I laughed hard enough for there to be tears.
Awesome.
What formats did you see Star Wars in?
I never saw 3D. I only saw two. No, I did see 3D. Okay. That was the one that got screwed up.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so the mistakes were big and bold and in your face.
Yes, nice. And I did see it once in IMAX.
What was your favorite one to see it in?
I think IMAX.
Yeah.
Just because it was so mind-blowing. Although I was really, really, really close to the screen, which you really, like, screws your neck up. But
want to be that immersed, where it's causing you physical pain.
Yeah, well, because it's weird, because you get to the point, like, when you're close enough where you have to keep turning your head from side to side to see the entire screen. And so, but that was the third one, so at least I knew what I was looking at.
That was me midnight for Potter 8.
Oh.
We were second row, and I was just like, I think that's a Weasley somewhere.
Yeah, that happened to me with Watchmen. That's a lot of blue penis right there.
Yeah, it's exactly literally what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, Jenna, we are thrilled to have you here.
Thank you for
sitting
me.
Not too close, just the right distance from all of us. Shall we move on, Mark?
Why don't we go from that to news from the Holonet? Our first story is that a Jedi News Live Twitter account, which got its sources backed up the announcement that Rogue One's Force Friday is going to be happening on September 30th, 2016. Now, last year was a little bit of an interesting weekend with what toys were actually available. Do you think that the success and just the overall buzz around the Star Wars franchise now from The Force Awakens will warrant a large response for this one, even though it's a completely separated story?
I think so. I mean, I stood in line. I was there at midnight. I got almost nothing because everything was gone by the time I got in. But I did. It was really exciting. And it was, I mean, there was a line around the block. I was at the Burbank Toys R Us here in California. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
So it was a good communal experience for hardcore fans.
Yeah. I think people will be more likely to do it now because, I mean, and hopefully they won't be stupid and they'll bring out some female toys. Unlike some other things.
Yeah, we're talking about that in our next news piece.
Yeah, we'll get that to that. But yeah, I'll be there. I'll absolutely be there at midnight.
I think hardcore fans, I think they're going to be really interested in how are they going to handle this differently from a lot of different perspectives. But I really think that Rogue One is going to be about education, about educating non-hardcore fans about what this is. So I think every event is going to be used as a tool to basically say, this is not the Star Wars that you think it is, so that we can get normal people excited.
What sort of specifics do you want to see from the toy lines? Because this last one was essentially all Kylo Ren, all his lightsaber.
Right.
Again, we'll get to Rey in a second. But for this, because we have the establishment of the 4, 5, and 6 in the time frame between 3 and 4, what stuff would you want to see?
I think the art is going to lead with Vader. I think there was one leak that already suspected that was true, that there had seen some written rumors that was true. It's kind of Star Wars tradition to lead with the coolest looking villain. And if Vader is indeed in the film, I think it would be kind of dumb of them from just a marketing standpoint to not lead with Vader in terms of the packaging. Mm. That said, I kind of feel like they should correct on a couple of what I perceive to be mistakes, both in the lack of representation for female characters, and also the overabundance of Captain Zuvios in Resistance fighters.
So many Zuvios.
So many.
Totally understandable that, like, oh, we cut this cool-looking character that was one of your lead action figures. But I just kind of feel like, great, do whatever with the Black Series, but for a lot of the main toys, main gadgets, just who are the big new characters? We don't know them.
Yeah.
If you have a line of 9 action figures, make 2 of them be side characters and make 7 of them be the main characters so we can really engage with the film by having it be very easy to collect the new characters.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's important that you don't just concentrate on the one character, because when I went in, I was specifically looking for Rey, which we'll talk about. I was looking for more Phasma, which there is now, but there wasn't a lot when it first came out. And also, I think, like, when I went, I had a nice chunk of money that I had saved up that I was going to spend, and by the time I got in there, almost everything was gone. There were no Sphero BB-8s. They're like, oh, I don't know, they might come in another time. And I mean, so I got, like, my BB-8 backpack, which I love. Although when I went up to the counter, the guy was like, oh, some kid's going to be so happy. And I was like, you'd think this was for a child, but no, this is for me.
Is this at Toys R Us?
Yes.
How do they not know?
I know.
Half
I
of their products are bought by adults.
I know.
And you look in that line and go, oh, no, they're all buying for children.
Oh, yeah.
And even the picture that we showed was from a Disney store, but still, I don't know a single person in the Disney store that I went to. Very, very early morning, but it was still like, there are no kids here.
Yeah.
What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
if I go, I'm going to get a t-shirt made that says, my only child is the inner one.
I like that.
This is for me.
That's good. None of these toys are going to children.
I don't know why I'm proud of that. None of these are for kids.
I'm
but
proud of that.
They're for myself.
My
collection.
My house is full of toys. I should be embarrassed, and I am not.
No.
But yeah, I think they need to have sort of, because I think they sort of bet that Kylo Ren was going to be the big character. And he wasn't the only big character.
Yeah, I don't think I do disagree that they were betting on that. It's just so much a part of their tradition. They all of episode one led with Darth Maul. When they relaunched in the 90s, they led with Vader.
Yeah.
I think it's just they feel safe in the marketing of that, which maybe goes into Rey. But I don't agree with their perspective where they thought Ren was actually going to be more popular in terms of our reaction.
I've heard some insider stuff where
okay.
they said
okay.
they
well, we'll talk.
That
we'll talk
was,
more
yeah.
about that, shall we?
Yeah. In our next story, the looked for Rey Monopoly piece was released by Hasbro this week, and it doesn't look like it took that long to create and mold and create that sort of a product. So, is this the first sign of the new direction for Star Wars merchandise? Like, are we finally going to start getting...
Before we get fully into that question, which I think is a great question, I think that we should acknowledge that you are at least partially responsible for this news.
Yeah.
So I think we should give listeners a quick backup.
Okay. Well, I started long before this. I think it was back in October. But I had gone to Target and wandered through the toy section, as I do every time I go to Target, and saw the Target Hasbro limited edition pack that had Finn, Poe Dameron, Kylo Ren, unnamed Stormtrooper number one, unnamed Stormtrooper number two, and Chewbacca. And there was obviously not a single female character in there, and I took a picture of it, I posted it online, and I was like, look, we did this with Avengers, where they had every character but Black Widow, and it was the Heroes pack, but they put in Ultron. Not Vision, but Ultron. Because that makes sense. They did it with another Marvel hero set where they had two versions of Iron Man, not a single female character.
Right.
Did it with Star Wars Rebels. They left out all the female characters. Mm-hmm. So I was understandably pissed. So I started the hashtag Where's Rey, which is, you know, sort of an answer to Where's Natasha and Where's Gamora. And it got, when this came out, my good friend Carrie Goldman's daughter, who's 8, wrote the very famous letter to Hasbro saying, like, where's Rey? It's important that we see girls. And she's 8, and she's the freaking cutest thing you've ever seen. And so we were both writing about this, and the Where's Rey campaign started trending on Twitter. It got written up everywhere. It was on CNN. It was on, I think, The Talk or something like that.
Yeah.
And it changed things. So that day, I had gotten an email from their Hasbro's publicity department saying they were no longer the company they were using for publicity. It was going in-house, so I emailed the new people, this happened.
No, you were emailing directly about the Monopoly at this
directly
point.
About right. Monopoly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'm writing this up. Do you guys want to respond to this? And I heard nothing. And then that was like 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific, and then about 5 o'clock I got a tweet from them saying the now famous thing that they are, that it would have been a spoiler to have her in there because then we'd figure out that she fought Kylo Ren. I'm like, but Finn is in there.
Right.
Also, Monopoly, and also spoiling a plot point. Like, yeah, because like when the thimble and the top hat were fighting, that spoiled something for me. That's not how Monopoly
works.
Yeah,
and the biggest problem for me is like, yeah, you include her with the staff.
Yeah.
If you had written to them saying, why didn't you include Rey with her lightsaber? Then
right.
I think spoiler is a valid concern.
Sure. Exactly, exactly. But no, that staff would have been fine. That was in all the posters.
Yeah.
And also from a marketing standpoint, you sell the first version of Monopoly with her with the staff, and then you get another purchase from the collectors by putting the one with the lightsaber in it. Marketing.
Imagine the logic. And so that within 24 hours they said, because I started tweeting about it, everybody started tweeting about it, and within 24 hours they said, okay, we're going to put her in the next version. Even J.J. Abrams was like, dude, seriously?
Yeah, and I think, and to me, in this narrative, the really clumsy response is what escalates it. I mean, you have obviously been doing this campaign, you've been getting support, you've been getting a lot of like journalistic, you know, support from other people picking it up, but I feel like their clumsy response to you is what really ignited it.
Mm. Oh,
and
absolutely.
actually made this change.
Absolutely. And in fact, they also mentioned the Rebel Alliance, which is not what we call it in this film. And I don't know if they had just, because they just started that day, they didn't know what they were doing yet. I don't know. But yeah, and I want to think that this is going to change things, but sadly, I really don't think it's going to change things. I think it's going to be much slower because they keep saying they did it after the whole Black Widow thing. And then they were like, oh, well, she's an assassin and people don't want their kids to play with assassin dolls. I'm like, but the guy kills everybody.
Yeah.
He's in there, so but it's a girl, so you can't do that. And, oh, you should wait. Oh, don't worry. We're going to have all the Star Wars Rebels female characters out eventually. Like, we're deep into season two.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for?
Yeah.
We just got an announcement of a really cool Sabine statue.
Right.
But that's...
Yeah, and I think she's coming out for Black Series, yeah. Which is great. But yeah, still no Hera. Yeah, so I mean, I think it's definitely an issue of the gender politics of it, of we'd like to see the female characters, especially when they're
the
main characters. And I think especially for adult collectors, I could give a damn less. I want that Rey with the lightsaber more than anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think Star Wars specific... They are, to me, being inexplicably slow on main characters.
Yeah.
I read a review from an interview from Toy Fair that said they're going to get around to Luke. And from my mind, as an old school fan and old school collector, when it was announced that they're making a new trilogy,
yeah.
They're bringing all of the cast back.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of is that moment where I get to see a new Luke Skywalker action figure. And now to be months out from the film and they're prepping the next film and go like, we'll make Luke eventually. To me, it is also an issue in Star Wars specifically of lead with the main characters, no matter who or what they are. Those are the ones we relate to. Those are the ones we want to collect.
Exactly. And I mean, I've been told by some insider people that they knew that Rey was the lead for 18 months. So it had nothing to do with production time or anything like that. So, I mean, obviously we figured that out from the posters as well.
Yeah.
But with Luke, like, it's not like Mark Hamill doesn't tweet all the time. And we didn't see him with the beard. Like, we knew that he would have one. Was that what we were hiding?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like, fine to have him come out after the movie. But I thought it'd be like, bam, after the movie. You can walk into a store and you can find
maybe
Luke Skywalker.
Month later.
Yeah.
Maybe a month later, now that people go, okay, that's how the movie ends. Or you with the announcement of the Episode 8 production last week, you go, okay, here now the public knows what he looks like.
Yep.
You can now pre-order a Luke Skywalker Sideshow collectible or something.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
You come with a little rock that may or may not be a grave. You know, Luke Skywalker with action pensive face.
It was the type of... We didn't know what type of brown his robe was going to be.
Exactly.
So that's the thing. And that's a spoiler.
Spoilers.
And I can't stand spoilers.
God damn it.
I would have been upset if I saw his mechanical hand early. But I want him now.
Anyway.
So yeah, I hope that all of these kind of... any time that a big corporation actually listens to response from fans, that if you strip away any of the politics and just say, hey, we want to give you money for a Monopoly, which isn't a good game, and we would give it to you if you gave us this, that that makes me excited that we have a world where corporations will listen to us when we vote with our money.
It's true. And then the other thing is you have a company like Mattel that's going out of their way to make sure that female superheroes are out there, that we're doing something like DC Superhero Girls, that they're going to people with the original dolls, and when they say, oh, they don't look strong enough or she can't fight in that scarf, they change it.
Yeah.
So that's a major company that's, you know, competition. So
cool.
Yeah, the new DC that line looks really cool.
So good.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Good.
Just as a funny side note, speaking of walking through the toy section of Target, I was walking through yesterday and I saw the one Star Wars Rebel toy was Kanan in a Y-wing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was just really confusing to
me.
It's like, no, I want a ship from Rebels, I want the ghost and I want Hera to be behind the wheel.
Yes, but the prevailing feeling is that boys won't buy something if there's a female. That's part of it. And it is not true. I speak at cons all the time and I constantly have boys come up to me and say, that's not true. I would buy it. I want people in the movie.
Yeah. So. I think, we want the people in the movie.
Yeah.
People in the movie.
And
people in the movie.
Ray's my favorite character to play as in the new Force Awakens playset in Disney Infinity.
Just as
a side thing.
Yeah.
And she's
more
awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we go from that to something a lot sillier and a lot smaller of an issue. For those of you who still go out to the arcades, which you should, support your local arcade, the Star Wars Battle Pod is getting an update known as the Battle of Takodana, which is what we saw in The Force Awakens.
Yes.
So have either of you played in the Battle Pod yet?
I have not.
I really want to. Generic Battle Pods, but not
this one. But not this one specifically?
No.
Okay, so they do have them in Southern California. There's one, I think, less than an hour away from here. I went to one in Vegas, and it's it's not like totally immersive and you have like a helmet on and everything, yeah. But it's a totally immersive screen and you have something for throttle and for firing missiles and for firing lasers. Beyond exciting and thrilling and putting you right into the battle of the first three movies. So anybody should go and play this.
Yeah.
What battle from Force Awakens or any battle that isn't, you know, like what off-screen battle would you want to see put into a playable form like this?
Off-screen battle. Wow. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's sort of on screen, but I'd love to do like Starkiller Base stuff, like trying to get through it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when we see Rey in there, you know, we don't really see that much battle. It's more about what happens with Han Solo and,
right.
You know, I would actually want to be somebody trying to fight through all the
stuff. Yeah, but they're up there in the atmosphere. Oh, like down on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the slightly older Star Wars arcade where you just had one joystick that would always have the lights in the fight. Yeah. That was really cool.
I would want to play through Rey's vision.
Really?
Just so I could see it.
Oh, I like that.
But I do like it. When video games do those kind of scenes well where you are suddenly shifting perspectives, that you always have kind of the same controls like your attack button, but you suddenly change who you are into a different person, a different perspective. I think that would be a really cool, weird experience.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty trippy.
And Battle of Jakku, because just like if you've read the story Lost Stars, which is Claudia
Gray. Fans here.
Oh,
big fans here.
God, I love that book so much. But that whole battle, like that would be really cool to play.
Yeah, and that's isn't that in
Battlefront?
It's in Battlefront, but you're seeing everything from a little bit more of a distance. What battle would you personally want to take part in, ground or sky or air or space?
I'm probably Endor, just because
I was just going to say that.
If I actually had to play it, like I don't want to be on Hoth. Mm. I moved away from Minnesota because of the freezing cold.
Yeah.
I do not want to play on Hoth. And Endor provides a lot of places to hide.
Yeah, Endor because speeder bikes, first of all. And then also...
Bear friends, little bear friends.
Oh, murdery bear friends.
Murdery bear friends.
Well, they're murdery... I've said this before, but they're murdery bear friends because where the hell do they get that dress for Leia? They've obviously eaten someone and kept the clothes. Just saying.
I think some sort of clothing store spaceship blew up over Endor, and it is lousy with dresses and pants and vests.
And that's how they got all of their clothing, too, because they've got cloth and some
way. The JCPenney ship blew up over Endor.
I would say definitely one that we know the good guys wanted, or to be on the... It's really cool being on the Empire side in the Battle of Hoth in Battlefront.
Oh, and you know you're going to win.
And you know you're going to win, kind of no matter what. So, I mean, I would put me in the bad guy's position, but if I was in one of the surviving AT-ATs just to feel the power of victory, why not? Go Empire. What? So for our final story, we don't have an image for this one, but Peter Mayhew announced, and he's already started doing so, he's been releasing a page or two of his original script a day.
Yeah.
With the announcement that when he finishes tweeting all those out, he has another announcement to make. What do we think this announcement is?
Chewbacca and Maz Kanata are getting married.
That's really, really great. I like
TLC
that.
TLC channel.
I like that Wookiee.
Serious?
Yeah.
I like that Wookiee.
If he hadn't been confirmed for episode 8, I would think it was going to be a confirmation of episode 8.
Yeah, I would think so.
I wonder if it's maybe not a bittersweet retirement.
I figure it's going to be a retirement.
Yeah, because there's a younger actor whose name I don't remember who did a lot of the action scenes of Chewbacca. What's his name?
Very Nordic. The name
is Very Nordic.
It's not like Gary Johnson.
Hi, I'm Very Nordic, and I'll be playing Chewbacca.
I just want to change my name, too.
Yeah, so I think there was some doubt about how much he would be in episode 8. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe it's a bittersweet sort of I'm going out with a bang.
Yeah, that could be all Chewie.
Yeah, or maybe it is some fun. Maybe he's going to be a co-host of some sort of like little show that StarWars.com is putting up, some other content. Maybe he's doing a Chewie-specific tour. Maybe.
It's like a Kiss farewell tour, but with Chewie.
An evening with Chewie, coming to your local theater.
I would watch a Peter Mayhew one-man show.
Yeah, and he has a one-man show in him because I think he is a real con warrior. And I know, Jenna, you go to a lot of cons.
All of the cons.
You can tell. tell the people who go to cons all the time who have their stories down. And Peter Mayhew has his stories down.
He's good. Yeah. He's good. I want him to have a hugging booth at the next con. I would line up.
But he has to have the Chewy arms on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, that's important. They have to be on.
Yeah.
I want a furry hug.
So I hope it's a fun new project. That but if not, right. I feel like he has given so much to the Star Wars saga and to the fans. If this is his a big fun goodbye, I think that is fine too. Life, that's the way life works.
He's a guy where fans wouldn't go, he could have done more. It's like, no, go lay down. Peter, please. Take a break. Take a breather. Let us know what you think Peter Mayhew is leading to with this line of script tweeting down in the comments below or on iTunes. Make sure to leave us a comment or a review. And do both. Why not? You got the time.
You don't have to choose. We're going to get into our main discussion, which is the casting of Space Bear. So we got to discuss this just a little bit. We had the kind of the big announcement of three new characters. Some of them we had speculated on to the point where I think we were kind of considering certain people cast. And then we discovered, nope. Nope. That show we did 6 months ago was super wrong. Super wrong. So first, I wanted to talk a little bit about Laura Dern, because I think she is one of the one of the actors where the most speculation of her character is swirling around. So the big one that we didn't get to talk about last week is, do you guys think that Laura Dern could be playing Rey's mom?
I think she could. I mean, it's really hard to tell because I would imagine we're gonna find her family at some point. I mean, there's been a zillion people speculating that, you know, talking about Mara Jade and all of that, but that's not canon, so who knows? But yeah.
Right.
But she could, and I don't know how much. It's sort of interesting because the way that Seven was set up, there's so much that happened that we don't know about. And I know that, like, with Star Wars Rebels, there's tons of backstory that we may or may not ever get to see. But I kind of feel like they have to show us some flashbacks here. They have to.
Yeah, I think they have to be very specific about it, so it's not Episode 8 flashbacks, which we've joked about on this show, that they have enough backstory that it could be a movie of backstory. And I think Rian Johnson will be very elegant about just dropping little bits of information that complete what you need to know for the film, but then allow podcasters to do years of podcasts.
Thank you for that.
But I do feel like Rey's parentage is something that it would be cool if it was a character. So they're active and they're present in the film. So it's not like, well, here's the truth of Rey. Let a character just tell us real quick. It would be cool if it was a character.
Yeah, I think so too. Although I know after Lost Stars, there was a lot of speculation about, you know, the certain people ending up in certain places that might have some sort of connection.
Yeah. I
don't want to spoil the book because...
Oh, well, we've discussed the book. We did a whole review of that, and we've done it ad nauseum. So you feel free to talk about it.
Okay.
Just say Lost Stars first, and Lost Stars will be a cue that you're going to say something.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, you know, as we get to discuss all of this, who's going to be where, what's going to connect to what, a lot of us are naturally going to connections between Rebels or the books into the movies. And so far, there aren't significant connections, which we'll talk about a little bit more. Do you want her to be Rey's mom? Or?
I think the first thing that people are going to have just as a sort of suspension of disbelief is, okay, Rey has a British accent. Laura Dern doesn't have a British accent. How could they be related? So it could be something where you can establish she picked that up from Unkar Plutt, or Laura Dern puts on a British accent.
Laura Dern
something.
Talks good, well, so so I'm
she
sure
speak
she could.
Good-ish.
She speak good, so she learned British, no problem.
We're slowly turning into Gungans. Let's not. But she is such a good actress. Laura Dern in anything is just phenomenal. She is Fault in Our Stars. She's awesome. I almost said Star Trek. Why? Jurassic Park.
Fault in Our Star Trek. Fault in Our Star Trek. That.
I would pay to see that movie. John Green, please. But yeah, she could play anything, and she's going to put in an amazing performance, and everybody's going to be like, more, please.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. It's
so
Laura.
This next question actually came from an article I saw on Legion of Leia, which is the rumor that one of the principal characters in Rogue One might actually be Rey's mother.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about that?
It's just a rumor. There's no confirmation at all.
This is just somebody you talk to in an alley about Star Wars and like
well, you know, I don't want to, you know, give
I
up
got
my...
some news for you.
That's it. It's inside the jacket. No, I mean, really, most of these things have just been, you know, coming up from making Star Wars or from people who are on, say they're on the set, but we don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, yeah. So total rumor land.
Yeah, absolutely rumor. And you have to sign a thing. I've spoken to a number of people who are on the set, and the NDA you have to sign is, like, they can sue you for lots and lots
for everything you ever make.
Of credits. Yes. Yeah, so you can't really. So we don't know. And I think a lot of the speculation is also coming from things that people want to see. So
yeah. So here's my question then. Do you guys want there to be more connections like this between the movies, or do you want Rogue One to be truly standalone, or do you want Rogue One to be a subtle way to introduce us to Rey's backstory? What do you guys want as fans?
I wouldn't mind it if it stands alone. I wouldn't mind it if there's some introduction. I just don't want to see things shoehorned in there for, oh, look, you know, like Han Solo being in it. Like, it's one thing if you see, like, Boba Fett, but young Han Solo, first of all, I still don't understand how they're going to cast it. That's everything else I'm fine with, but that one I just don't, because you're going to get some, like, plucky young Disney star, and it's going to piss me off. So please don't get a plucky young Disney star. But, I mean, if you get little references to things, that's fine. If you get some sort of connection, like, bit larger connection, that's fine. I just don't want to see it done as fan service.
Okay. Yeah, if it's all of a sudden, oh, by the way, this is our plan the whole time. It was going to be the story of Rey's mother. But, see, actually, it's Rogue One. I would rather, with this first film, they go, we can tell stories apart from everything else.
I think it might be important for Rogue One to prove that they can do that. But I think in the big picture, I would really like them to start connecting. Our last week's show was about what lessons Star Wars could learn from Marvel about kind of how to subtly build connections. Right, like, this is an entirely separate story, but they have this MacGuffin or this very small character in common, and I feel like Star Wars should start to do that, but maybe Rogue One is not the place.
I think right now with the books and with Rebels and even to some respect the video games, people think, oh, well, since all of this is already out there, if we put the one thing in there that connects it to everything, then we don't have to do any extra work to read more things, watch more of this, watch more of that. Because we already have it, and it's already there, and it already exists.
Yeah, I think an interesting thing would be to connect it more to Rebels than to Episode 7.
And I think that would be great. That's super logical to do. I'm kind of concerned they're just not going to.
Yeah.
Which it starts to crowd up the storytelling a little bit there.
But put Ahsoka in it. That'd be cool.
She lives.
Yes, that's
right. Or we get like a blue-haired rebel in the back or some tagging in the back that's like, oh, Sabine's still around.
Yeah, like something. Yeah, that's really cool. I just don't want it to feel like, hey, look, it's Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Hi, Boba Fett. Like,
if Boba Fett literally waved at the camera. Agreed. That would be Blue's Clues. Too much.
Is that Boba Fett?
Boba's
right
Clues,
there?
Yeah. Okay, so assuming, wild assumption, that Laura Dern is indeed Rey's mom, who do you want her to be as a character?
Ooh. Jedi in training. I feel like she's got to have force powers.
Yeah, I think that Rey's mom, my take on it is I feel like Rey's mom should be a fighter. If not literally Mara Jade, in the Mara Jade sort of wheelhouse. A wheelhouse ethos. Because I feel like we've seen a lot of the significant mother characters, female characters, have been more traditional sort of caring mothers or politicians or people who
use swords too.
Fight in different ways. So it would be cool if her mom is somebody who does actually hurt people.
More female fighters, which they obviously gave us this time around in 7. So, I mean,
I think Hera would be a good archetype for her. Just because she's team mom, like 100% team mom, but don't you piss her off.
Don't mess with Hera. No. Hera will mess you up. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So if she is not Rey's amazing Jedi mother, what kind of character would you like to see Laura Dern playing?
Still a fighter.
Still a fighter.
I still want to see. I just want to see more female fighters. I just think it's cool. I mean, if you've got a rebellion in this futuristic society, unlike, you know, the first three movies where apparently there are very few females in the entire universe, I want it to be populated with people. And since we're talking about battles, I want to see her be a fighter.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Cool.
Similarly to Leia, retired general, but she was on the front lines.
Right.
And just it got to a point where it was like, all right, these people do it a little bit better than I do because I've gotten a little bit older. But in a scrap, she can kick anybody's ass.
Yeah. I'd be cool with that. Mm-hmm.
I'd be cool with all of that and Crazy Alien.
Crazy Alien?
Also Crazy
I want to see
alien.
More Crazy Aliens, and I like it when you get amazingly talented actors to be Crazy Alien.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd go with that too.
Awesome. So the other big casting news is Kelly Marie Tran is the person who I think we talked the most about rumors of other people that we kind of thought were cast for this younger female role. A lot of those people were more fighters, more ingenue type of actors, and she has a background as a comic actor. So if they are going to use those skills, what do you guys think is the kind of right kind of comedy character for something like Episode 8?
I mean, about what type of character she'd play, I'm not sure, but I mean, I do think they need to have humor. There's always been humor in Star Wars. It's always been part of it. I mean, I was laughing at Episode 2, but, you know, not with it.
Different type of comedy.
But it's just because of the rolling through the fields with the giant animals and the poop. I'm just...
Yeah, but there's no poop in those fields that we see with our eyes. Maybe maybe it'll be added in a future special edition.
Oh, yeah, yes, I'm sure.
The shocks, this is what they're called. The butt cows.
The butt cows.
The butt cows do not poo on Anakin and Padme. I will stand up for Attack of the Clones in that way.
They should. But I do think, you know, obviously even Seven had humor.
He was great.
You got a boyfriend, cute boyfriend. But, yeah. And, oh, where's my boyfriend? I like that Wookiee. I love Maz Kanata.
Well, she's great.
Love her.
Yeah, she's great. So that is, all of the comedy in Episode 7 was very well spread out between the cast, and it came organically from who they were and from their interactions. A lot of great stuff from Han being Han and being an older version of Han, but also lots of interpersonal dynamics a lot with Finn.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the comedy came from Finn not knowing how to be social, really, and kind of trying to figure out how to interact with people. So it's all generated from the circumstances, but there wasn't one character that was comic.
Yeah.
So just, again, in wild rumor territory, imagining that she was a character who was delivering most of the comedy, how would you want that to happen?
I think she would be a direct foil to Finn as the reality check to him.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So where he would be like, I've been doing this for a year. I got it down. Where she could, I could see her also as like Maz Kanata's Bib Fortuna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where she's heard all of these crazy stories a million times, and as a result has a galaxy worth of a sense of humor, and has heard every joke from every corner of that pub for however long, and is the wake up call for Finn to be like, you got a little bit more to go in the social category.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I think it'd be great if she was, like, biting and sarcastic but still supportive and filled the role that Han did in kind of the Han-Finn comedy double act on Starkiller Base.
Yeah.
Was exactly what he did of knock Finn down. Like, okay, that's enough. That's enough. Calm down. That's really cool. The third big one, of course, is Benicio del Toro, which the biggest shock to me of him being confirmed is that he hadn't been confirmed before.
I know, right?
Since we had been talking about it.
Had been confirmed by the
studio.
Yes, he had been confirmed by his own mouth multiple times.
Crap. Probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Oh, and I am a villain. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Like,
you've been a working actor for how many years? And you, like, oh yeah, I'm in Star Wars. Crap.
Hagrid of Star Wars.
Yeah, and maybe that is it. Maybe even for somebody as incredibly experienced as Benicio del Toro, Star Wars is still a whole different ballgame where everybody everywhere is going to ask you about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And how could you not? Like, as somebody who does interviews all the time with celebrities, if I was interviewing him, there's no way I couldn't.
Yeah.
I have to ask.
Yeah. So do you think he is going to be a villain, or would you want to see him play against type?
I'd like to see him play against type. I mean, I'm all cool with him being a villain. Like, it's Benicio del Toro. He can be a villain. But I think it would be really cool to see him play against type. Or maybe somebody who starts as a villain and maybe does not end up as a villain.
Yeah.
Be kind of interesting.
Yeah, seeing him as the collector in Guardians totally changed my perception of what he could do. Even though I knew he was talented already, so I would love to see him play against type and do maybe he's the wacky alien.
Yeah.
Like, how crazy would that be if Benicio del Toro was the wacky alien?
That would be kind of awesome.
Or like a jilted ex lover of Maz Kanata, but Chewie has to get involved, and you find out that there was like something between Maz and Chewie.
Oh God! Now I'm trying to think of the
rom-comming the hell out of episode 8.
I don't know, dude.
It's just
more Maz Kanata.
Absolutely, I absolutely support you on that. If I think that that episode 8 is going to mirror Empire Strikes Back in some ways, I think it's going to be very careful to not over mirror it. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see Benicio del Toro in the kind of Lando role.
Yeah.
Should we trust?
I thought you were going to go for Lobot.
Lobot. No, I'm not that big of a jerk. Who's going to be the Lobot?
Who's Who's going to be the Lobot?
Who's going to be the Lobot? I think that actor has probably not been announced yet. Because I don't think they led with that in 1980. I
find that hard to believe.
This actor has been cast as Lobot.
Lobot. The Lobot character is going to have all the toys.
He's going to have puffy sleeves.
He's going to be
lime colored. He's going to have a cell phone wrapped around the back of his head.
Do we have to change the joke to Sad Zuvios instead of Sad Lobots?
I think it is Sad Zuvios and Sad Resistance Fighters. There's a lot of Resistance Fighters, but Zuvio is up there. Absolutely. Any other thoughts on Benicio del Toro before we move on?
He's another person that, like Laura Dern, I'm like, he can do anything, yeah. and people are going to love it.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope with both of them that they are, because I want to spend a lot of time with the main characters, that they are smaller supporting characters and that they're going to give this great weight of their experience to some smaller roles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford is not in the list after all of our suspicions. But he's on the IMDb. So are you guys bummed that Harrison is not going to be a flashback or a force ghost or any of the other weird rumors that we threw out?
I wouldn't necessarily... if they're going to put him in there, they're not going to announce him. I would just assume... And if he is in there, I'd rather have it be a surprise. I don't necessarily want to know because... I mean, there were definitely things in 7 where, as soon as he saw Kylo, we're like, oh, that's it. He's dead. There are definitely things I don't want to know. And we had talked about this last time I was on as we were getting close to the launch of the movie about all the stuff that they were starting to leak out. And I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't want to know if he's going to be there.
Cool.
Now that we have the first movie out and everybody's spending all of their time talking on podcasts, I don't think we'll have enough time that we did last time to really think about, oh, but they might be on set this time, because now we go, well, we're more in the story now that we know the story, we can stay suspended up there as opposed to having to wait for any sort of a reveal. If there is a Han Solo flashback, I would rather it be Harrison Ford than whoever they cast for the Han Solo movie.
I certainly would not want young Han Solo popping up for some reason.
Or old up the... If you make the young Han Solo
that would be
older,
horrific.
It's like, you gotta stop what you're doing.
So it's just they cast Carl from The Walking Dead and then he has age makeup.
He's on
one of the lists, so we'll see.
Oh my god, his name is escaping me. I'm getting all my backstory for Leia and Han and young Kylo Ren from Brian, who is doing the Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, that's very, very funny.
Yeah,
that's
I feel like funny. I need to look at the name now just because it's going to drive me crazy.
Okay, well, while you do that...
You
kind of already answered my next question, Jenna, so you can just kind of check out. That's fine. I was also thinking
Brian Kessinger, sorry.
Kessinger, in less than 12 parsecs. That's a unit of time.
That was good.
So, do you want to have other people held back? I think that there are going to be some sort of acknowledgement or interaction with Force Ghosts, so I would rather not know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it leaked that who's going to be appearing.
Mm-mm.
Like with the, and I'm not going to say who, but like in the Rebels trailer where Filoni was like, hey, there are spoilers in here, we just have a sizzle reel, so be warned. As cool as it was to see that, Now I'm just waiting for, well, when are they going to do that? When is this person going to show up? When is this going to happen? So, they should hold that stuff back totally.
Yeah. So I think they probably will.
And definitely, and I think the reveal of the half-force ghost of Anakin and Vader from the art book, I think was a great way to diffuse that. Because they went, oh, okay, they're not doing that idea. So then when those characters, similar characters do show up in the new movie, then if people go, oh, no idea!
It'll be a nice surprise.
So here's what you do. If you're shooting episode 8, you have a party. In wherever you're shooting, in London, whatever, and have all of the old actors come back.
Oh, to just
confuse
the hell out of us?
That's why they're there. Because, the whole thing with Jon Snow in Game of Thrones, like, oh, he's in Ireland, but he's not filming. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Unless you're having some sort of big, cast party, then you're like, well, that's why he's there.
Okay, so you think that for the entire shooting, everyone should be there. There should be, a cardboard standee of Alec Guinness just to confuse us.
I don't think that's weird at all.
People leak, computer imagery of Alec Guinness or of an older version of Obi-Wan just
walking on
the
set.
Oh, weird! Yeah. Oh, he's totally there!
How is Alec Guinness? That's so cool.
That would be really cool. And I think I also wanted to mention while we're talking about all the casting that if they follow suit with The Force Awakens, there's plenty of small roles that yeah. haven't been cast, and it, some of the small roles might be from a big name person, so we might not be done.
And they didn't
this.
Announce any of those, any of the onset stormtroopers until months later, and those were big actors,
right? Yeah, so Harrison Ford might be playing a stormtrooper.
Who knows? Why not?
So a lot of the supporting characters are going to be back. Who do you guys want to see more of? You've already mentioned Maz Kanata. Do you want to see more of Captain Phasma?
Yes.
Do you want to see more of Hux?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. No, definitely Phasma. And I know that people were kind of pissed that she wasn't in the film very much.
Yeah.
But it was very obvious that they were not good. I mean, because we never saw her in the trash compactor. So obviously she was going to come back. Mm. And so, and I mean, I know they've done it before with really cool looking characters like Boba Fett or Darth Maul.
Right.
And then not had them there. But I don't think they'll make that mistake this time. She's such, first of all, you've got Gwendolyn Christie doing it. So, you know, she's kind of amazing.
It's a given.
So yeah. So I'd like to see more of her. I want to know if maybe when she's talking to Finn and she says, "Put your helmet back on," she doesn't stay around to see if he does. Now that could certainly be because she just assumes that he'll comply. But I kind of feel like maybe it's possible she had something to do with his rebellion in a way.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, in Before the Awakening book, you know, I don't know. Have you read the Before the Awakening?
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly get a little bit of that dynamic there.
Yeah.
And I can't remember where I read this theory, so I can't give it credit. But I know Before the Awakening gave us this picture of the First Order that had really isolated people from the rest of the galaxy and sold them propaganda about the way it was.
Right.
And certainly Finn's story is realizing maybe that's not all true. And I saw a theory somewhere that maybe that's a direction to go with Captain Phasma.
Yeah.
That she gets broken on that, and maybe she is goes to the side of the light.
Yes.
So I think that would be interesting. I want to see more of...
more gray.
I certainly want to see more of Maz Kanata, and I'm really fascinated to see, because she seems so tied to the location she was in, and I know they have the cut scene where she did join up with the Resistance. But since that's cut, I don't think that's necessarily canon. So I'm really thrilled to see, like, is she rebuilding her castle somewhere? Is she just with the Resistance now? What's her relationship with everybody?
Because of the catacombs filled with so much history in them, she's probably... How many times has she rebuilt that castle?
Yeah.
I
think there's that...
Thousand years.
That place was there for a reason, and all of that stuff has been there and stays there for a reason. It's not like,
on top of a Jedi temple, maybe?
Pack everything up! We're moving again!
Yep.
No, I think we'll go back to Taco Donna.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Maybe so
Maz Kanata will be the new Resistance base. Yeah.
She's awesome.
I would like to see more Hux in a actual... like a professional role, as opposed to just fire. Like, no, I want to see
a professional role.
I want to see him in that evil boardroom. I want to see him. Like, here's why you're all listening to me. I want him to take charge of that role. Now.
Yeah, and more pitting him against Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. Also, his pants are really, really upsetting.
Tell me more.
His pants, where they stick out on the side. I don't like it.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a Nazi design,
old
right?
School.
Yeah, well, I don't like those either.
Yes. Do not be so proud of these pants terrors you've constructed.
When he said fire, he really meant fire the tailor.
Yes.
That's
exactly what he meant.
Get me a new JCPenney
shirt.
Go to Endor and get me better pants.
I hear that's where the JCPenney thing went down.
So now that you know the casting, we know that we have all of these actors coming back, and we have a comic actor, and then we have actors with a lot of experience and weight and gravitas. Does it give you any guesses as to more what the tone of Episode 8 will be when you think about the cast?
I just have a feeling we're going to get more a darker feel. I mean, and obviously, like you said, they're probably going to have some sort of mirror of Empire Strikes Back.
And Clones, up to a point, in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Well, any middle chapter of a trilogy, really. I mean, which was learned from Empire.
Yeah.
But by casting Kylo Ren Tran, I figure that's going to be their way to kind of, well, now we have, like, two comedic roles to kind of buffer up. So here's the funny parts. Don't worry about that dark stuff over there.
Yeah, and it can even be dark
even
humor,
which
is great.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you guys think the acting style of a Star Wars movie should be? Like, we react to the various actors based on their resumes or their history in movies, and we talk about what will they bring to Star Wars. But what should the Star Wars acting style be?
Oh, wow. I mean, I think I like the whole sort of... all Empire Strikes Back. That feeling. Because, I mean, obviously, like... And look, I know I make fun of the prequels, but right. I do have to say, like, it was the casting that really bothered me there, and the performances, not necessarily the story. And there's a lot of stuff in there that I think could have been handled differently.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of really interesting and fascinating information. And I think what Seven did and what the first three did very well is have people who could handle the sarcasm and the dark humor and also the drama of it. And yeah. I think, you know, yeah, so I think that sort of feel. It has to be that sort of feel.
Yeah. What do you think?
Real people. Like, fully rounded. Yeah. You're not going to get archetypes. You're going to get people who are like, okay, well, I mean, I'm done joking now. It's time to get serious. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I would liken it to Avatar The Last Airbender, where you had these kids going on a fun road trip, but then all of a sudden, like, people start dying around them, and the world is literally going to be burned to the ground.
Yeah.
You're the kid that has to save us all, so you better wake up and start training.
And there's sort of, I mean, anytime you're dealing with war, there's a gallows humor that's sort of there. Or, you know, you have people sort of compartmentalizing things. If you look at Leia, not really even acknowledging the fact that her entire planet has blown up until later in the comics and all that. But well, this is my job and I'm doing it. But then she definitely has a lot of human moments. So I think we're also, since those films, a lot more used to seeing the effects of war and what that actually does to people. So.
Yeah. To me, I think it's this very unique challenge because I think it needs to be very minimal within huge explosions of emotion.
Yeah.
Because I think what The Force Awakens really nailed, and I feel like a few of the actors, like Ewan McGregor, nailed in the prequels of, I am going to say a very simple, sometimes kind of stilted or weird line, but I am going to give you just this depth of emotion that is maybe really clear or maybe is an invitation to wonder, like, that character is very clearly upset, very clearly hiding something, but what is it?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a failure of the writing. I think it's the style of the writing to have very minimal lines where you need to fill in a lot of stuff. And that, in general, that's what acting is, but I think it's a unique challenge in a sort of big, broad, weird world like Star Wars to be pack minimal things with a ton of emotion, and then every once in a while you are going to have to scream no really well.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think if you even just look at, like, Kylo Ren's line about, like, I feel it too, and there's all this stuff behind their faces, and I'm like, what is it you feel? What do you feel? What do you know?
Yeah, yeah, this is one of the great...
That's for a podcast.
Yeah, strange, ambiguous lines of The Force Awakens, which is up for debate, which is great. Okay, we've got just a little bit left here on our main topic. Is there any actor who you'd be upset if you heard they got cast in Star Wars?
Oh.
Star Wars in general or Episode 8?
Let's go Episode 8 specific. Okay. Who should not be in Episode 8? Let's just get real negative for once on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
I had the name and it's totally gone. I would say if you loaded it with comedic actors.
Yeah.
That would make you nervous? Okay.
Yeah, like, I mean, not to say that he can't do a serious role, but like Jack Black. Zany, woohoo type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's chill. But I don't know about anybody specific.
Yeah, well, I'm going to agree with you on Jack Black.
Okay.
But I mean, I think there's sort of, when they talk about casting people who have very, very modern faces versus people who work well in time periods, there are certain super recognizable characters and actors, like say like Tina Fey, who I love, 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 love,
right.
But you can't put her in Star Wars. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I think we live in an era of personal branding and some bigger name people who are amazing have branded themselves a little too successfully in order to break that, they would need a whole vehicle. Like, I would actually love to see Tina Fey in, like, a whole serious movie where she could...
Oh, yeah!
You could have time to really invest in her playing a different role. But when you just see those kind of characters as, oh, the person who is telling Princess Leia that they've plugged in the information into the port, like, what?
Yeah. Like, why is Liz Lemon
telling us that?
But actually, you speaking of those types of faces, there are the actors who have gotten too large to be characters anymore.
Yeah.
Like, because Tom Cruise, like, while he does play Ethan Hunt and all this, it's like, yeah, but that's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, that's Nicolas Cage. Or, yeah, that's... I think the only reason that Harrison Ford got away with it was because this was the role that turned him into that type of a guy, where you're like, oh, cool, Han Solo's an old newsman with Diane Keaton.
Right.
And the thing we associate with him is an actor who can be in any kind of movie. That's how he got successful, as opposed to becoming successful by being a comedic actor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
like, like you could put Gary Oldman in it because he's sort of a chameleon and he sort of drifts between all sorts of characters. I think, like you said, it's the over-branded people who are known for doing very, very, very specific things.
Yeah.
If you look at like Laura Dern and Benicio Del Toro, they do all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And so they, I can see them blending into their character rather than just seeing that person playing this role.
Yeah. I would be concerned about John Travolta.
That's, please don't do that.
Unless
don't
he was, unless he was the wacky alien,
I would be fine with the heavily made up, strange alien. I can't go so far as wacky.
Wacky
makes me nervous.
Okay.
Daniel Craig wore a stormtrooper outfit. I feel like you could put crazy people in it. Just don't. Just put them in
masks.
That's
a big stormtrooper.
Yeah. And Daniel Craig he did a little bit with his voice with that stormtrooper, but once you know, you can't unhear it.
Yeah.
I don't want a John Travolta stormtrooper.
No, he'll be able
to hear that.
Yeah, no, alien. He can be an alien. That'll be fine.
I'll drop my blaster.
Oh my God.
Welcome to Terrible John Travolta Impressions with Jedi Alliance.
That's the
great thing is even a good John Travolta impression is a terrible John Travolta impression.
I'm impressed.
All right, so here's my final question. If you guys could play a character in a Star Wars movie, what kind of character would you want to play?
Salacious Crumb.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Do it as John Travolta?
No. You don't even want me to try that. I want to play some sort of kick-ass warrior, but then that sort of goes along with my house full of swords and lightsabers. So
yes, understandable. My
easy answer. Easy answer is a Jedi, clearly a badass. But I think I would like to be the person in like the background of the cantina where people go, "What's their story?" I would want to be that type of a person where people go, and I would be the head canon guy where everybody goes, "What if they're from this planet and they helped it?" Like. The guy, the mysterious guy in the corner that everybody wants to know everything about.
Yeah, that everybody wants to look up and memorize.
You'll get a book later.
Details.
Yeah, you get a book later.
Uh-huh. Eventually.
Not Dengar, though.
Yeah. I would want to be a crappy Jedi. Because, being honest with myself, I would like to play a Jedi in a Star Wars movie, but I am more of a comedian as an actor. And I feel like we've seen that in some, like the... Clone Wars, not the main animated series, but the one that Gennady Tartakovsky made. There was a Jedi who kind of looked like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. It was really just losing it when General Grievous was coming. And I feel like I could play that Jedi who's just like, no, it's not going to be okay. I can't be peaceful anymore. I got a runner kill. I'm doing it. I'm a terrible Jedi. Just a terrible Jedi.
Who wants my lightsaber? Like the greaser kid from The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's a little bit about the casting of this Space Bear. I'm sure you guys have your thoughts. Feel free to share them with us on Facebook and Twitter as well. Now, we move on.
Now it's time for Jedi Alliance's favorite part of the show, aside from my main topic, of course. It's Mind Probe. That's where you go to our Facebook page, which is Jedi Alliance. Give us a like and ask us questions on or about the Star Wars universe that we answer as a panel. So thank you to everybody who's gone and asked us those questions. We pull them several times throughout the course of several weeks. So let's get started. We got some pretty fun ones today, as well as some pretty serious ones from Otto Kobler. How do you think they could put a new spin on the way the conflict in the galaxy is fought? Maybe even a galactic cold war.
Well, I think that if you look at the Princess Leia book, that's part of Journey to the Force Awakens.
The Moving Target?
Yeah, Moving Target, that Cecil Castellucci did. I think it's sort of interesting to see different parts of the galaxy and how they're not fighting. And so, you know, because you sort of think of, well, as a planet right now, many wars are going on, but some of us are sitting here doing a Jedi Alliance podcast. Like, you know, and in that book, they're on a world and, you know, Princess Leia's like, it's weird. These people are just like on a beach. They're not, this thing is happening. Do you not know this thing is happening? It would be sort of interesting to see people who are not part of the war and the effect that it has on them. Or if it has any effect.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that in all of the new canon books of the times where people's lives get really horrible or the times that were only really their financial life is affected, but that's still a change. So, yeah, I think that would be really cool.
Clone Wars, too, when they were the Republic was trying to fight over some different planets.
Yeah.
We're
like,
we don't want any part in this war, and then all of a sudden they become a part of
it. And I wonder if that's what Otto's question is coming from, because now that we know that we want to keep seeing Star Wars and Disney's going to put out a bunch of movies, which is great, and keep telling stories, but that the cycle of war after war, every 20 years there's a huge galactic war, is kind of necessary to tell the story, but maybe you want to hear it in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's an author, Anne McCaffrey, who did this Dragon Riders of Pern series.
Yeah.
And there's one particular book called Moretta, and then it's a main character, and this big dramatic thing happens. And then she put out the same story, but from a minor character.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting to see, like, what part of what part of her life was affected, how this, you know, how everyone else was dealing with it. It wasn't just the big main characters. So.
Yeah. I think it would be cool to see, like, a big Star Wars saga film where basically I don't want it to be a zombie apocalypse. I like zombies, but I don't need them in Star Wars. But that part of the story where society has truly collapsed,
yeah,
and you're seeing people not trying to keep everything together or wrest control back, but just we're building everything from the ground up again.
Yeah. Hmm.
I think it would be really, really cool.
More E.T. Yeah. in the background.
I'm thinking of my theory that that we're going to see, like, small close quarter combat with small battalions of expert warriors, like the Knights of Ren. We only got a flash of,
yeah.
So I think we're going to see small one-on-one battles.
Oh, cool.
Versus, or small group battles where it's like a small tactical team as opposed to let's just throw soldiers at each other and see what happens. Like, no, it's all right. We're sending you here because you're good at that, and you're going to go there because you're good at that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a great idea.
From Tristan Shields, name the barbershop that Crix Maydeen gets his hair cut at.
You got one locked and loaded, Jenna?
No.
How about you?
I've got one.
All right.
Nadine Maydeen's House of Bowl Cuts. He goes to his mom's house and he...
Nadine Maydeen? Nice. Nice. I had blast shield barbers. That's it. It's a barbershop that always keep their blast shields down so they can't see and they just cut by the force.
Space cuts with a Z.
Space cuts with a Z.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're telling me you would not go to Space Cuts with a Z.
I would. If they use like space scissors, or it's like two tiny lightsabers.
To yes. Oh, yes, and they do make the.
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I think the truth is he doesn't go to a barbershop. That is a self cut. He doesn't have time.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm gonna take care of business. I'm gonna cut this myself.
He uses a Flobee.
That's a good poll. From Dale Smeltzer. Who do you think smells the best out of the new characters?
New characters.
This one's so easy.
Dude, it's got to be Poe.
Yeah.
Poe smells good. Poe does not go anywhere without cologne.
I don't think Poe needs cologne.
He might
I
not.
Think his natural smell is beautiful.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful man. I of course, agree with you and say Poe, but I think you walk into Maz Kanata's bar... And she's got this air of history about her where you go,
oh,
what is
like
that?
Like the inside of a library.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the inside of like an old book.
And I like
just like,
it.
Oh, that's really
interesting. So you think the whole castle smells nice?
I think because of Maz.
Because of Maz.
Uh-huh. Because of Maz.
That she takes the time to make it smell nice.
Pungent.
Did you see the pretty food she was feeding them?
She clearly cares about details. So I think Maz smells very nice. I think she does take care of herself. But if any character...
But the best?
Yeah. If any character was going to do like a deodorant commercial...
Oh, it's Poe.
You can totally see Poe like, yeah, I'm on a Tauntaun now. Like,
you could just take his one sheet and put a logo on it. You totally could. Hayden March, do you think Finn will lead a stormtrooper revolt in Star Wars 8 or 9?
I would actually really like to see that. I think that would be really cool. And they've sort of nodded to something like that and the upbringing, not only in Lost Stars, but in Star Wars Rebels, where you see like the training ground.
Yeah.
So it would be really interesting, especially because of Lost Stars and especially because of learning how you grow up in the Empire, how your identity is really taken away. And it would be really interesting to see what happens, because if you keep people in the dark like that for a long time, it doesn't take much to spark something.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, he certainly has the training. In that, also that Captain Phasma theory that I read somewhere, that I think that idea of a stormtrooper revolt would be really cool to see, whether it's Finn or Phasma or both.
Yeah.
I would like to see it, but I don't know how many stormtroopers are left, considering, I don't know how many got off of Starkiller Base.
Yeah. There's always more stormtroopers.
I think the idea is that they're amassing all sorts of different weaponry and ideas. So I mean,
if they wanted an army that big, they would have to clone all. Oh my god!
You know,
the Clone Strike Back, Episode 8.
When I was a kid, I was little when I saw the movie. I thought that stormtroopers were robots.
Yeah.
It helped me process the violence when I was 4. I'm good now.
Understandable. Okay.
And our last question is from Nick Widener. If you can rename any Star Wars character, who would it be and what would their name be?
That is so hard for me because I like Star Wars names when they're bad as well as when they're good, because that's part of the charm to me. But given that, I think I go with Ilan Slizbegano. You guys know about Ilan Slizbegano?
No.
Ilan Slizbegano is the name of the guy who tries to sell Obi-Wan Kenobi death sticks in Attack of the Clones.
name is Sleaze Vegano.
Sleaze Vegano. Alon Sleaze Vegano. So it is right on the nose. It's in StarWars.com databank. That's what his name is. So I feel like if they're going to do that, they should just rename him Johnny Douchebag. And that should just be his actual Star Wars name.
I kind of want I've always called Chewbacca Captain Fuzzy Pants. So that's like Chewbacca's like my theme this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I really always wanted them to rename the Mon Calamari ship.
Oh, home from Home One to what?
Yeah. I have no idea. Just something less fishy.
You want Mon Calamari to not be.
Yeah.
Okay. So not the ship, the actual race.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want
not
them
the ship,
to
sorry.
Actually be. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You don't want them to have squid in their name.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Understandable.
A little bit.
But Captain Fuzzy Pants, yeah.
So, funny you mentioned yours. I would like them to rename Jar Jar Binks to Alon Sleaze Vegano.
Fair enough. Misa don't like that.
So remember, if you want to submit your questions, just go to our Facebook page, Jedi Alliance. Look for the Mind Probe question. Leave it, and we may answer your question on the air.
And now we move on to our final segment, Duel of the Fates. And the powerful music plays, ooh, and somewhere Alon Sleaze Vegano dances.
With his death sticks.
He's high on death sticks.
I'm so happy that's his name.
Yeah, it's really
that's
amazing.
The best name.
So our question last week, Jenna, was who wore the jacket better, Finn or Poe? So before I reveal what our audience responded on Facebook, what is your thought? Who wore the jacket better, Finn or Poe?
Oh, God.
Feel free to interpret the question however you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just think it's cute that they share it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Brotherhood of the Traveling Jacket?
Yes. Ew, wait. I've never actually seen that.
Okay.
I don't watch chick flicks. But, no, oh, God. I don't know. How could I choose it? They're too perfect.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a valid answer. Yeah. We don't get a lot of, like, I refuse to answer this question because it's too painful, but fair enough. Fair enough. The answer, the overwhelming answer from our fans on Facebook was Finn. James Simmons said, it fits Finn far better. It's a replacement identity after he shrugged off the Stormtrooper armor, which I really like. Chris Marie said, Finn, it looked too big on Poe. Perhaps he too stole it from a dead comrade, which I really like. And I always like to include at least one person who had an argument that was different from the winning argument. So I will read this great comment from Hayden Collins, who said, Poe. No support, just a powerful, it should be Poe.
But the jacket would smell better.
It would definitely smell better.
That's probably why I was like, you know what, I don't want to let this smell die.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm sure Finn smells great too, but Poe is amazing. This week's question, if you were stranded on a desert island or planet with only one Star Wars movie, which movie would you choose?
Oh, God.
It's a terrible question.
Empire Strikes Back.
Is it? Does it remain for you, even though you probably feel like many fans do, that it is the best made movie? Is it the one that you get the most joy from watching?
It's a toss up between 4 and 5.
Yeah,
because 4 was that first magical thing that I saw.
Yeah,
but Leia's a little more kick ass in 5.
In
so,
5,
yeah,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Surprise ending, holiday special. No, I would say Jedi. Just that's the one that I watched the most as a kid, and one that I could just turn on and
hooked you. Yeah, yeah. For me, it would be a toss up between bringing Empire Strikes Back because it is the one that resonates the most with me, and I feel like it has the most depth in every moment, so you can reanalyze. But I would almost go for just the first chunk of Return of the Jedi. At Jabba's Palace.
Yeah.
There's so much that just is Star Wars included in that first half hour.
And the thing about it is, if we're on a deserted island, I want something to give me hope.
Right.
Like, I love Empire. Empire Strikes Back is amazing, but it's like, everybody's so happy. I hope I'm happy again someday on this desert planet and or island.
Yeah.
So I'd want to watch the one with the happy ending.
Yeah, Empire
and
Strikes
Back.
And
the space bears.
And the space bears.
Yeah, I don't want to be alone on an island with the murder bears.
But it did,
just
but it brought
the murder bears to keep me company.
But full circle. Went right back to Space Bear.
Uh-huh. Right back to Space Bear. Exactly. Do you guys have any final thoughts before we move on? We'll, of course, put this up, this Duel of the Fates question up on Facebook tomorrow for you guys to answer on Facebook. You guys here have any final thoughts about casting the Space Bear before we close out?
Not about casting the Space Bear, but just make all the lady toys because I have dollars and I will give them to you.
Always a good message. Mark? Mm-hmm.
Now it is my it's going to be my life's goal to make sure that Benicio del Toro is playing Alonso Lisbegano in episode 8. That's how we're going to connect the prequels to this new trilogy.
Excellent, excellent. Jenna, do you want to give a shout out to where people can find you and anything that's coming out right now that you want to plug?
Yeah, you can subscribe to the Legion of Leia podcast on iTunes. You can find Legion of Leia pretty much everywhere. You can find me, Jenna Bush, B-U-S-C-H, like the beer, not the president, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitters, and I'm all over the place. And Captain America versus Iron Man Psychology and Game of Thrones Psychology can be pre-ordered on Amazon right now.
Nice.
Like the beer, not the president, is one of my favorite descriptors, and I wish it could be used more.
I'm going to just start saying it.
Yeah,
I think you should.
And I'm the internet's Mark B. Donica. Today the B stands for Bagano, as in Alon Slays Bagano. And you can follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Tonight on the Popcorn Talk Network, we're going to be talking about Far Cry, the movie by Uwe Boll. It's going to be amazing. Please tune in live. We're going to be live at 6 p.m. PST. If you're listening to this pre-recorded, go find it on the Popcorn Talk Network, because we're probably going to have a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. Awesome. I am Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find me on all the social medias. It's at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can also find all of my adventures on josephscrimshaw.com. I have a personal podcast called Obsessed Podcast that I'm putting out every Thursday. This coming Thursday, my guest on Obsessed is Mike Black. We're a huge fan of Mike Black here on Jedi Alliance.
Yes, sir.
Mike Black came on the podcast. It's all about talking about the things that you are just in love with, maybe even too much. And Mike Black and I had a great conversation about his obsession with collecting action figures. Some amazing Mike Black stories in that. I'm also going to be at Wizard World in Las Vegas mid-March. Yes, and Jenna will be there too. It will be great. I'm doing a live version of the Obsessed podcast, and I'm also doing an hour of geek-related stand-up, so come check all that stuff out. Thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans were murdered with death sticks to bring us this information.
By space bears.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners and principals.